BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello and welcome to You, Me and the Big C. I'm Mike Holt, producer of the podcast. What you're about to hear is a conversation I had with Deborah a few days after she found out that her treatment was stopping and she was switching over to palliative care. As you can imagine, because of the situation, this conversation gets deep and very emotional at times, although we do manage a few laughs. We wanted to give you fair warning before we got into it. There's always the option to skip this episode or come back to it at a later date if you wanted to. When Rachel first introduced this podcast 4 years ago, we promised to give you the ups as well as the downs. Well, sadly, this is one of those heartbreaking downs. When we recorded, I was sat in our old studio in Salford, as she was sat in the garden at her mum and dad's house in the sunshine. Now, this might seem like a strange opening question to some, but really, it was the only place I could start.
Hey, Debs, how you doing?
I could say I'm doing fine, but I'm not. I think the last week I've processed what I knew was coming in the last 5 years. And I've got to the point that I feel like I've been, you know, playing with the devil. And I think, you know, when you think, oh no, it's caught up with me now. And I haven't really got my head around this, but we all know that I've had a really rough 6 months.
Yeah.
And my liver's not working, and we've tried absolutely everything. And it's not about lack of chemo drugs, it's not about like running out of options, it's just my liver is not working, basically. She says currently now drinking champagne with rosé because what I'm about to say is that, you know, so in the last 7 days, not 7 days, I've gone from being on what we would call active treatment to being told that a lot of my treatment now is fruitless, really. And it's kind of, you have to weigh up, are you causing more harm than good?
Yeah.
And like, I feel like for the last 4 months, I've had moments where I just feel I'm getting so weak and my body just can't do it anymore. And I've tried so hard for 5 years and I'm still trying really hard, but my body just doesn't want to play ball anymore. And like, no matter how many antibiotics we put in to like stem the sepsis, and no matter how many times we try to stent it, it's just collapsing. Like, and I can't even walk anymore. I mean, that's what's really scary about it. I've gone from somebody who used to run 5k a day to somebody needs her husband to pick her up to walk a step. And we just got to the point where it is so obvious, you know, when things are so obvious, but it's like people aren't telling me to stop, but at the same time they're saying, they're giving me a choice to stop. And I had one last chance at trying to put drain in. I've still got medical drains in at the moment, but they're not working. And they're certainly not working enough to enable me to have treatment again. And my body certainly isn't well enough to be able to have treatment again. And you wouldn't even know how to rebuild it, to be really quite frank with you.
Debs, do you know something? I was looking back through our messages, right? And I thought I'd just read you something that I thought might make you smile, right?
Sorry?
You keep it close, you can hear me, right? On the 7th of December, 2018, you wrote this to me, right?
Yeah.
Hey, sad question, but if I don't start responding to shit, are we able to do what Rach did and spend a day in studio getting messages recorded, etc.? Something through the new year, but sadly something I now have to think about.
Wow. And then a month later, I had a varices bleed, and that's where I nearly lost my life.
I remember. I remember.
And then I've basically, you know what, the clock turned May a few days ago, didn't it?
That's right.
And I was still in the same hospital room that I've been in since the 8th of, or the 7th of January.
That's incredible.
Minus a few days at home. And I think I just thought, oh my God, we're going nowhere here. Going absolutely nowhere. People are trying so hard. And it's just, for the last 3 weeks, we've been trying to get community care, and anybody who has experienced community care will know, I think it can be great, but when it comes to delivery of IV antibiotics and things like that, it's taken 3 weeks. There's no capacity in London or near where my parents live in Woking. We haven't been able to get anybody to deliver it, so the only option is to stay in hospital to have the antibiotics. And that's been quite heartbreaking, because we know that my time is limited, but in order to get the treatment, I've had to stay in the hospital. And I think that's, you know, becoming worse and worse. And the last couple of days, they've allowed me to actually sleep at home, because they know that it's been so challenging to try to get anybody to deliver any form of antibiotics outside of the hospital setting. And then basically the breakthrough came through when I kind of got officially moved to hospice care. So it's, things very changed very quickly. You kind of meet a whole new team in the hospital, like a whole palliative care team. And they kind of start putting wheels in motion, and we've contacted the local hospice here in Woking, because I've decided that I want to be at my parents', because as much as I love London, it kind of, I can't even get up the steps to pee. So it's kind of like, it's not practical. My parents live in a bungalow, so I can see greenery and my whole family can come here. And it's where I've kind of always wanted to die, weirdly. I've kind of always had that in my mind.
Do you remember when we had that conversation? And you, I know you found it very difficult at the time, but do you remember when we had that conversation about that with Catherine? And I think you came to the point that you were very marked then, that you didn't want to be at home. Has that been in your mind?
That is a good question. I think I always knew I didn't want to be at my London home.
That's what I meant, your London home, sorry.
Yeah, I think mainly to, it doesn't feel right to me. Does that make sense? Like, there's nothing that I can describe that feels relaxing in that capacity. And I, don't get me wrong, it's a lovely place. But I also think it's not right for me, but it means that the kids can go back there and they don't have those kind of medical equipment scars based everywhere. So it can continue to be their home without those memories, I think, which might possibly be a good thing.
No, I think it's definitely a good thing. I remember Steve's spoken about that as well, hasn't he, to us in the past. And I think that's definitely good. And I know this is a stupid question, Debs, but how are you feeling in your head? How are you coping?
I think partly numbness, partly it's really happening. Like, really happening. Like, you know, when you kid yourself and you think, I'm not going to die. And then you realise your legs are all swollen, you can't move. You realise how much your body's breaking down, and you think, oh, and how much I'm sleeping. So I think that's the biggest thing, is kind of, I'm amazed at how tired I am by doing absolutely nothing. Like, so I could sleep for most of the day and not even recognise it.
Mm. And that's not like, that's not like you, right?
Yeah. And that's what's really shocking, actually. It's just this ability to kind of, and it's weird sleep. It's like you think you've been asleep for hours and actually it's like 10 minutes. And it's like, then you wake up and then you just drift back off again. It's like, it's very strange, like that sleep. And there's nothing that really improves it. Does that make sense? Like there's nothing that helps that. And also my body just doesn't want to do things. Like I still salivate. Like I keep watching what I call food porn just to see if I've got any appetite available. And I do still like, you know, want to eat, but then when it comes to it, my body doesn't really want to eat. I think it just wants to look at the pretty food.
Really? So you're struggling eating at the minute?
Yeah, very much so. I think it just wants to remember the days where I used to eat all this gorgeous food. So I keep on the amount I'm spending on ridiculously expensive, today I want to try truffle cheese, today I want to try this, just because suddenly I want something, and then I think that might be the key to making me eat. But I just have a tiny spoonful and then that's it, so that's a bit annoying. But I think the hardest thing so far, I think I could see it coming. I've done the classic fallen off a cliff and kind of known it. I've kind of seen my own demise in the last 6 months. I mean, you can't not from external perspective, you know, from the message that you just read to, you know, I thought I hit rock bottom and it just kept on getting worse and worse and worse. So I don't think it's going to come as a surprise to anybody, but I think it's amazing how I've had 5 years knowing that this will happen to me, and it's still shocking.
Do you know what though, Debs? I was out with Lauren a couple of weeks ago. I think I told you last week when we spoke, and we were both saying it's surreal's the word. You've nailed it, because ever since, from their 4 years onwards, every single time you've bounced back and you've bounced back stronger. And I know it's taken out of you and I know it's been really difficult, but it's not stopped you. You know, if you think about all the things you've done in the last 5 years, you know, incredible things, you know, it's just unbelievable, really, the powers of recovery that you've managed to sort of muster up. I just wanted to ask you, you mentioned it to me and I hope you don't mind me mention it here, but did you manage to finish the book you were writing in hospital?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So it's kind of three quarters of the way there, and it's one of my weekend emails that I have to now tie up and kind of, so obviously you're one of the first people to know my situation, and before I kind of put anything out on social media, which will essentially be, you know, now going to spend time with my family, is the fact that I've got kind of some ends to tie up, which includes, I wonder if my book will ever be published.
I'm sure it will, Devs.
I'm sure it will, but I just need to, the problem is like, nobody can give you a time estimate. Like, I know I definitely don't have months. I know that the hospice assessed me yesterday and said it depends what my body does, really. It could be, I mean, weeks at most, really. But nobody, even doctors, they just don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it just takes a few things and that's it. Or you might improve for a bit. I think it's very unknown, really, isn't it?
I mean, you know, I won't be surprised if you're still here this time next year, but maybe I'm being too hopeful. But
that would be great. That would be wonderful.
this won't go out, by the way, if that happens. I'll hold this back. And I just wanted to ask you, just for the listeners, really, I mean, we've both been on this journey from the start with Lauren and then Steve coming up a bit later on. You know, what's the podcast meant to you, Debs? What's doing You, Me and the Big C meant to you? Seeing this is You, Me and the Big C, What's it meant to
you? It's meant everything. I think having cancer and meaning that I could still have a purpose in my life, because I suppose you think you have cancer and then you think your life is over. Doing things like the podcast has given me purpose back, because it's made me realize the impact that you can have on another person, on saving another life, or, you know, making somebody not feel alone. And obviously that's thanks to our listeners. And then I feel utterly blessed to have had these opportunities, probably because of my cancer. Yes, I would give my cancer up in a second, you know, just to have a normal life again. Mm. But I think to be able to kind of do it and to feel like you've had an impact is kind of one of the best feelings that you can have, in a really selfish way. But kind of, I've never felt alone because of it.
Well, I don't think it's selfish, Debs, and I think, you know, you've read all the reaction we've had to this podcast, and, you know, I don't think you've any need to be selfish. I think, you know, what you guys have all done, you, Rachel, Lauren, Steve, and Al, you know, it's been incredible. And, you know, and I think, you know, you've always been a big driver, as all three of you have, all four of you, with Steve and Rachel. But, you know, you particularly, you know, reaching out to people, making sure you reply to people, driving certain aspects of the podcast, making sure that, you know, when the pandemic came around and we drove that through, and, you know, your energy was utterly relentless, to be honest. In good and bad ways, but we won't go into that now.
We won't go into the stereotypes now.
No, but, you know, all joking aside, you know, I certainly from a producer and a friend, really, point of view, you know, I've just sat back in awe, to be honest, Deborah. And I think a lot of people have.
You're going to make me cry. I think I'm currently in a stage of doing death admin, which I remember distinctively Rachel talking about, and just saying, God, when you die, there's a lot of death admin to do. And there's kind of like, you know, there's things that I knew I wanted to do, and recording, you know, one last thing with you was one of them. I also know that kind of when I do say something on social media in the next few days, that I want to ensure that I've always wanted to use my platform in a good way. And don't get me wrong, I'm not setting up any charity or anything, it's too much faff. But I just want to raise a pocket of money to go across the three cancer charities that have always supported me, which is Cancer Research UK, Bowel Cancer UK, and the Royal Marsden. So I'm just kind of trying to get that in place now. But apparently it's more difficult than it looks on Just Giving. So, you know when you want to split things between different charities?
Yeah.
Apparently it's quite hard. Anyway, so just trying to sort that out. But I just feel like actually, you know, I hope that anyone who's listened to the pod, who has read one of my columns, read my book, or looked at my Instagram and stuff, will, I suppose, if they can afford to, buy me a gin and tonic to send me on my way. And by doing so, hopefully we can raise some money for these charities.
Absolutely. I know due to circumstances, we couldn't really do a podcast with Lauren and Steve, which was a shame, but, you know, at least we got something recorded. You know, is there anything you want to say about those guys? Because, you know, it's been a long old haul. I wasn't sure how long this podcast was going to last, Debs, and it's...
I know. I think they're amazing. I think, you know, I'm so happy that Loz is finally moving on with her life. I think cancer is something that you shouldn't be... Unfortunately, my cancer it didn't define me, but it never went away. So I learned to just waiting for the train part to pass.
Oh, nice, nice recording technique.
That's good. Unfortunately, you know, someone like me, my cancer never went away. We always knew it was going to catch me in the end, and I think I had to just navigate life with it. And I think, you know, if you're in someone's, like, Lauren's shoes, I think you should, you know, embrace life again.
Absolutely.
You know, as hard as it is, but realise that actually it doesn't need to define your life, and you can move on from it, and kind of, you know, it's nice to see her actually doing that finally. And I do love you, Lauren. I just don't tell you. And I think with Steve is a really good example of how life does go on, right? And has to go on. And, you know, I think Rachel would have been really happy with what he's doing and his, you know, next stages in terms of marrying Amy. And I think, you know, what more can you want? I was, you know, Rachel's always in my mind, actually, even now. I just don't know how brave she must have been to do what she did, because I don't feel that brave.
No, but I think you were both brave. I don't think you need to feel brave, Debs. I just think how you act is how brave you are, right?
I suppose so. I think I'm still in awe of how kind of she seemed to just take in her stride, and quite frankly, I'm kind of a quivering mess half the time. But I think, you know, I think, well, if she can do it, I can do it.
Yes, you can.
So I'll go and party with her.
Sorry.
That's okay. You know, we always had a joke about, like, Grim Reapers on the other side. I still have it as one of my gifts.
I remember.
So it's ironic that, you know, maybe she'll meet me on the other side and she'll be like, well, better late than never.
You make sure you give her a hug from me if you do.
I will. Absolutely. But no, Mike, thank you so much for everything from your end as well. I think, you know, this podcast is a team effort, isn't it? And it's put all our hearts on the line, and pushed us into things that we would never have otherwise talked about. And I know that without having this vehicle, sometimes people don't have the opportunity to talk in the way that maybe they can share their emotions quite so bluntly, and feel safe in doing so. So I think it's kind of been an absolute honour working with everyone.
Well, likewise, Tebs. Likewise. And you know what, just one, you know, it's funny you should say that, because I think one of the last things obviously we did, unfortunately, not that we wanted to, was the hospital tapes of you recording on your own, going through what you went through in sort of the start of the year. And, you know, some of that, Deborah, was some of the most powerful stuff that we've done. And you even self-identified, it was amazing. And, you know, I think you should be really proud, mate. And I think that, you know, some of the work that you've done all across the board, not just on this podcast, on Lorraine, columns, you know, magazines, everything, has always been to raise awareness about bowel cancer and cancer in general and how to cope with cancer. And, you know, you should take that solace, because you did that, right? And cancer doesn't define you, but what you did once you had cancer, that defines you. What, how you've acted since has been unbelievable. And I just, you know, I, you're one of the most, excuse me.
you make us both cry.
I know. Where's the cough button? I've missed it. Which button's the cough button? I was looking for it.
It's normally the swear button.
Yeah, but I am going to finish this sentence. But, you know, working with you has been one of the most inspiring experiences. You, Rachel, Lauren, Steve, and in a small way, Al. but it really has. And I just hope, Deborah, that whatever happens in the next weeks or months ahead, that, you know, you get through it in the best way that you can, and that the way that I know you will, and enjoy spending time with your family, and just go easy on yourself, and just, you know, you couldn't have done any more. That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you so much.
I think I might get you to do the out there.
No. I was going to say, well, thank you guys for everything, for being our partners in crime in the club that you never wanted to be part of, and listening to you, me and Big C all the way. And it's been an absolute honour and a privilege to be part of it. And thank you for all the energy, the enthusiasm, the feedback, the love that we've got from you. And remember, there's loads of episodes that you can listen to on BBC Sounds or other podcast places. And I suppose that's it from me. I can't believe it. That is it from me. Which is a very sad thing to say, but I'm pleased that I have, you know, got to the point where I can say it. And we'll see each other again somewhere, somehow, dancing. And until then, please, please, just enjoy life, because it is so precious. I can't tell you, it's all I want right now is more time and more life. And oh, and also check your poo. Come on. I can't leave on any other word apart from check your poo. I suppose still have images of me dancing in poo outfits everywhere. So maybe I should leave on that final word. Check your poo.
Thanks for downloading the You, Me and the Big C podcasts.
Don't forget to click subscribe
or get more great podcasts from 5Live at bbc.co.uk/podcasts. BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.